G, your Bronx warrior goddess, here to talk about overcoming everything and anything life can throw at you and doing it with style, humor, courage, and love. I've had lots of life experience overcoming adversities of all kinds. You will hear my personal stories, interviews with other survivors, conversations with friends, and commentary. Stories of passion, trauma, resilience, love, and everything in between. Tune in and tap into your own indomitable spirit. And as always, I'll start with a quote. And with this particular podcast, I'm going to be doing a couple more quotes. The first one is, art is not what you see, but what you make others see. Edgar Degas. And then the other quote is, beautiful are those whose brokenness gives birth to transformation and wisdom. John Green. Okay, so now we'll start. In 1994, my beautiful 19-year-old daughter, Christina, was diagnosed with leukemia, and she opted for a bone marrow transplant in an effort to save her life. This diagnosis and treatment and the after effects led us down a path of both extreme pain and extreme beauty that forever changed our lives. To talk about what we went through with the transplant would take too long, and actually you could read about it in my book. But suffice it to say, as one nurse told me, we have to kill her in order to cure her, and that's what they did. They killed her, and it was really my constant vigilance, her incredible will to survive, and zest for life, and all the alternative modalities we used is what allowed her to live for the next 20 years, although she never fully regained her health. We laughed as much as we cried. We were two warrior women, an unbeatable and unstoppable team. About 4 years post-transplant, when all the emergencies settled down and we tried to resume our lives, I realized that I was definitely having PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and it was the EMDR, which is a treatment for PTSD, with the wonderful and beloved Jim that allowed me to have really any sane thoughts in my head. It was out of the extreme pain I felt watching my daughter suffer that also the extreme beauty blossomed, because that was the only thing that could overcome and alleviate the pain. I felt that somehow there were no words that could express both the pain and the beauty, and for some unknown reason felt really led that to have my body painted. And it was only through art that I could figure out and how to express my feelings. Somehow, out of the most incredible pain, the most incredible beauty and joy blossomed. I interviewed several artists in Chicago, telling them what I wanted done, but nobody seemed to really get it, and I was very disappointed. The guy I was working for had a main office in Las Vegas, and me being me, the wandering Jew that I am, I decided to move to Las Vegas, and I also figured there'd be dancing there, so I went. I found a cute little cheap apartment and then went looking for dancing and some yoga. I saw an ad for yoga by this woman, Jada Fire, and went to her yoga class. As soon as I walked into her studio, I knew that not only was she a yoga instructor, but also a fabulous artist. It was a beautiful studio with many of her paintings. When class was over, I was the only one left, and we started talking. I told her what I was interested in, and she seemed to understand it right away, which surprised and pleased me. I told her I needed both PTSD and the healing painted on me, and we decided to set 3 days aside, one day to do the PTSD painting, then take a break, and then the next day paint the healing on me. She knew of a photographer, and I thought it was really necessary to take pictures so I would forever have what she painted on me. Here is a brief description of what I told her I wanted painted on me for the PTSD, and this is on page 72 of my book. I say, a picture is worth a thousand words. I was with Christina always as she endured endless painful procedures, constant rehospitalizations, emergency room visits, and humiliations. As her caregiver, I had to be hypervigilant, comfort, loving, accepting of all the physical, mental, and emotional changes she endured. I had to make constant and instant life and death decisions and slept with both eyes open for many, many years. The terror, agony, exhaustion, frustration, feelings of helplessness to stop her endless suffer have been excruciating. I had to find some way to express the inexpressible pain that I feel inside to be a witness to my own sufferings. These feelings have been etched in fire, blood, and tears, and my heart and soul and mind. While I look normal on the outside, believe me, I'm not on the inside, and the paintings say what no words can possibly express, and I am no longer normal. So that's what I, this is what I asked Jada to paint on me, which she did in the most fabulous way. And then Adam took pictures of me in various poses, but the important one was the ripped and torn photo of my heart that Jada painted on me. I did wash it off afterwards, and we rested the next day, and then we got into the healing. Many, many, many years ago, when I was in my early 20s, I did some acid with a friend, and I had this vision while on acid that I was this red goddess straddling a beautiful river, and the river's water was flowing through my legs. And this was some of the image I wanted for the healing painted on me. So on page 74 of my book, I say, "Then came the healing Jada painted on me." And that had to be the last image painted on my body because healing is ultimately the only way to move forward. This time I wanted my heart to be a lotus flower with a diamond in the middle. I wanted to be pink and beautiful and radiate health and sensuality. My blue legs were water, flowing orgasmic water that cleansed and clears. And that cleansed and clears. On my back was Christina and us and me emerging as warriors and the phoenix rising out of the ashes. Beauty, joy, power, overcoming all forever. Just as there were endless tears, there was also endless love, laughter, and healing. And somehow Jada, in all her wonderfulness and gorgeousness, as I expressed these, she painted exactly what I wanted and needed, and that really, I can say all these words, but they don't mean anything. It was the painting on my body that really brought all the healing to me. And we danced a lot, and we laughed a lot, and we've become very good friends over all these years. So, Jada, are you there?
I am here.
That's so great. And here we go. And as always, I am so grateful to you for the wonderfulness you brought into my life and so many other people's lives. Okay, so we can start. I'd love to know, what was your impression of me when I told you what I wanted to do? And had anybody ever asked you to do anything like that before? Why don't you tell me what you think about that?
Well, as always, I'm always just in such awe of the auspiciousness of the timing of magic in life, including this very moment. I just got this very big aha truth come in, and it's no surprise when we do these podcasts. I love just arriving to the now and listening to what is going to come through, and I'm going to share something totally miraculous that I didn't feel until just moments ago.
Okay, so, I want to hear this. Yeah, go
it's on. Pretty amazing.
Okay.
So when you came into my life, I was my first impression of you was particularly strong, and the reason being is that you resembled at that time and still do my Aunt Teresa, who had passed away a week before you showed up.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was a very poignant time for me. There was a lot of closing of doors, death energies, just that transformation happening, as we all know, in life. I've come to learn that death is, in fact, the highest upgrade. So just on that note, I want to honor you and what you shared about Christina. And I definitely feel that she is DJing the show with us.
I'm sure she is, absolutely. She is, for sure.
And I know that I believe in that transcendence and that death truly is the highest upgrade. And there's always something wonderful that comes from something so painful and so difficult. But what's so fascinating is that when you came into my life, you resembled so much of my Aunt Teresa that grabbed me instantly. I thought, well, how auspicious is this? This woman, I have no idea, walks into my studio with this deep sort of yearning for a spiritual journey. And you felt like some sort of a connection in the spirit world to my aunt. Now, what's even more amazing about this, and I think this is going to blow your mind, Teresa's husband, Richie, passed away 2 days ago. And I am here in New York for this call to visit my family and also to show up for the celebration of his life. It almost feels like a super auspicious connection, like this magic is all around us, you know, and once we just listen and we ground in, we can see that magic is truly everywhere. And the spiritual guidance is everywhere, all of it. It's just right there waiting for us to recognize, to see, to hold, and to honor it. So I just want to take this moment to honor all of those that we've loved that have crossed, and really trusting in that peace, that hardship and pain in its deepest depths really, really will bring us the highest upgrade of all. So.
Wow. This is astounding that you're saying this, because one of the things that I didn't say that I forgot, but now that you're talking about your Aunt Teresa and what happened with your Uncle Richie, one of the things that happened the day that we met and talked about this is, as we were finishing up, you hit a chime. I don't know, I think you do remember this. And when you hit that chime, that note, I could tell, was Christina. And I remember we talked about that, because I remember I kind of jumped, because that note was so Christina, and I knew that we were connected. It's so exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It seems that we're extremely connected on a very, very deep level.
Yeah, and it's beautiful that we can share this connection that you and I have with our listeners, and just trust in what's going to come through, very much like opening ourselves like a portal. Like, I had no idea we would touch on this, but it just is blowing my mind right now that I don't come to New York often, and I was coming to see my family, and I learned on the way that Richie had passed, and today we're going to celebrate his life. And you and I met when his wife Teresa passed. Right. It's just like a really sacred closing of doors, a very ceremonial picture that I'm seeing right now. So I just want to honor you and honor all of those who've crossed, honor my ancestors and my elders for their beautiful teachings, and see and feel and know that, yes, we too share in those hardships that they've endured. We are like this one family tree, and from the roots grow the branches. And in that journey, we have so much in common, so much that we share, our lineage, our connection through our trauma, our pain body. But then there's this great, beautiful transmutation of the self, of the death into the rebirth piece that I think keeps bringing us back into these podcasts, because it is the fascinating aspect that is rarely brought to surface. And that's what we're here to do. And in this call today, speaking to the body painting, naturally, when you walk through the door, my spirit body was like, yes, I'm going to work with this woman just because of those sacred signs that came in. And then being an artist and passionate about healing arts, taking on this project with you just felt like the perfect project. It was a hell yes, you know, moment of let's open up what's here. And what I do remember so poignantly about the experience when we went into the painting of the warrioress, bringing all of that pain body to the surface of the skin, my intention through that was to be able to, with intention, draw all of that turmoil, all of that dark energy that is being felt but maybe not seen, because often we show up in the world with this very, you know, glossy surface. You know, we look nice. From the external, there's this almost an illusion, like, oh, wow, this is a beautiful person. They must have it all together. But deep down inside, there's this well of untapped wisdom, which comes from the trauma, that comes from the hurt and comes from the suffering. And, you know, it takes great courage to start cracking into that body of knowledge. And we all have it within us. It's what's in the underworld. It's how energy gets transmuted, is when we go deep down into the belly, the black womb of the earth mother, and we get humble and we listen and we see and we hold and we face those fears, even if they're scary, even if they're painful. It's not a place that we stay in permanently, but it takes courage to feel into that energy field, into that energy body, to transmute it. So, right. Yeah, and like I often say in these calls, no mud, no lotus, no coals, no diamonds, right? No roots, no branches. So we must go down deep in order to rise high. And it's so easy and convenient in the world that we know to bypass these shadows and to just aim for the light. And of course we want that. Everybody wants to feel bright and healthy and resilient and connected to the white light of the divine, to be that light, but we can't bypass the shadow. And I think that ends up always being a theme for our calls. I'm not surprised that the card I pulled for our call is the Honey Badger today out of our Ancient Animal Wisdom deck. And the Honey Badger speaks to being a skilled digger and actually going in and down and really going, like the gold mine is there, but it's untapped unless we go in and down, and we need the courage to do that. But in order to stand in our truth and in our integrity, we must go digging down to find those treasures. And so when I come back to your body painting, what stands out so strong in my mind is when we painted that dark suit of color on your body and even wrote the words. What were some of the words, Gold, we wrote on your skin? It was
And on the back of me was the rich get richer and the poor get poor, and on the front was stupidity, cancer, torture. Yeah, there were definitely some words on the front of me also. Yeah, we had something. Had to have some words. So
yeah,
so I'm wondering, Jada. So how do you think, and this is the kind of what you're talking about, how do you think we make the transition? And how do you think, let's say me, for example, went from the PTSD, which was more horrific than anything, to this absolute beauty? How do people do that? And you're talking about the only way to do that is to dig really deep into the pain and not be afraid of it. To talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, I'm encouraging everybody to go to war with themselves. I'm actually, right. What I'm learning on my own journey is that, you know, in the Himalayas, the rainbow body, which is seen as these energy centers, our chakras, as we know them, the red, the orange, the yellow, the blue, the indigo, the green, the blue, indigo, violet, is this rainbow body. These are our energy centers. And to actually come into the full realization of our essence, we need to come into that inner knowing that we hold these energy centers within. The red is the root chakra, is our sense of belonging to the Earth Mother. And that is where we begin the journey of transmutation. And so what I do encourage is that we have the courage to go into these lower chakras and to sort out and kind of like the honey badger, go digging in a little bit and find what is unresolved, what needs reconciliation, what needs to be held. And when we did that body painting with you, we started to work with those denser, darker energies. And what I thought was so fascinating about your experience is the idea I had for your painting was that when we were done painting you and we photographed to capture the essence of that warrioress, your job was to go in the shower and to wash it off. Mm. And I remember vividly that I think it took you about 2 days to wash it off. I remember you calling me and saying, I just can't wash it off. I'm in love with it so much. It's so empowering. And really? It was really an interesting observation for me because it really showed me just our human nature. You know, like you were really a teacher for me in this too, in that, you know, we are addicted to our own suffering. And while you loved so much the power and the beauty and the fierceness and the ghastliness and the darkness of that body painting, I knew on one hand why you didn't want to wash it off. But we are very much attached to our own suffering. And it's a hard piece to let go of because it's so deeply rooted in our lineage, this punishment energy. And we are now stepping into a time where in the Andean philosophies of shamanism, we are seeing this time is explained as the time of the Pachacuti, the end of an era. And we're being invited to step into the body of Homo Luminous. And in order to do that, we need to truly reconcile all of these hurts and these sufferings of the past. And what's hard about letting go of them is that it's who we were and it's what we knew. And it's hard to let go. Letting go is very hard for anyone, whether it's something big or small. That's why in the Enlightened Path of Yoga, we do practice non-attachment. And in so many cultures of that path towards enlightenment, we need to practice the detachment of what we knew or who we were, the roles we played. And it is big work. And most people don't want to do it because we're comfortable. We're comfortable. We're in a rhythm, even if it's not working. It's holding us in the form that we were. But who we were isn't who we are becoming. What got us here isn't going to get us there. And this is where we get to look at, I have a close friend, student friend of mine who she struggles with hydration. And, you know, you can go to every doctor in the world. Most of them aren't going to just tell you to start drinking more water, stay more hydrated, you know, or sit down and do 30 minutes of breath work every day. Oxygenating your body with water and with air is free and accessible to everyone, but it's not seen as valuable maybe because we are programmed to this old system that we need to pay or suffer our way to heal, and that there's a hard route, a difficult path. And I think that there's aspects to healing that we can embody to truly open up to the mysteries of healing, like let go of the suffering. Perhaps the inability to hydrate, which really takes the mindset shift of saying, I am worthy of being hydrated. I am worthy of being oxygenated in my body. That comes from the mind. And then the mind can then guide the body to receive that water. The body then becomes hydrated and then the suffering stops. So we are the ones that get to wake up to our inner healer. And that is this big path that we are on. And the work that we did, going back to the body painting, was this journey into exploring those dense, dark, heavy energies. And then when it came time for you to wash them off, it didn't surprise me that it was hard, because those are the pieces that are hard to let go of. But you took that first step to observe and to embody and to hold the intention that, yes, I am going to become like that river of fire, that river of blood. I'm going to feel into the depth of my power, where you were tapping into your gold mine, into those hurts and those traumas, to hold them, to feel them, to even be proud on some level of them. Like, wow, this is in me and I get to transmute this. And when the day came for you to then step into the shower and to wash the paint off of your skin, I imagine that was a pretty emotional experience.
It felt really good, honey. Definitely felt really good. Yes. And this is what I'm saying also, honey, is that, you know, the beauty and the joy and the pleasure had to be more than the pain. That's what it had to be. And that was some of what we went through, was no matter how bad the pain was, there had to be more love, there had to be more laughter, there had to be more dancing around, because that was the only thing we could see could overcome all the horror that there was, mm-hmm. really.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, and we all know, after we sit down and have a really good cry about what pains us so deeply, we feel so much better after that cry.
Right.
You know, I mean, just a week ago, I sat with 10, 15 friends, and we were alongside this beautiful creek, and we were just, I really was in a moment where I needed to call in support for my own challenges in my own life. And I sat there with some of my IU members, my community, who I do this shamanic healing work with, and some of my other friends from my community. And we sat down by the moving water, and I called in a prayer circle. And, you know, for me, I was holding so much undigested and unresolved pain and suffering that I needed to be held in it. And I knew the place to go was going to be seated on the ground with friends, spirit seekers that could do that work with me. And we sat there together and we passed a stone around. And by the time the stone came to my hands, I cried so hard and I opened myself so deeply, and I just let, like, that moving water, that energy, right, to come through. And it was such a powerful moment, because I really let myself be so vulnerable and let my good friends and students and those who were there with me, the children, just see how broken I was in that moment. And to just trust that the Earth Mother could hold me in that and could hold us in that. It wasn't for anybody to fix. It was just a place to release and to express. And to be so honest, so radically honest, like, whoa, this energy here is so big, I don't know how to hold it. And then after I communicated that and I expressed that, I had the courage to go there so vulnerably. When I handed that stone off, I felt that depth of light. It was like all of the weight was gone, you know?
Right. You're having this event coming up, and I said something to you about you. What you said in that was, and I quote, Jada Kalika, "Our greatest pain can become our greatest pleasure." That's quite a thing to say, really.
And it only comes through these decades of living and learning and seeing time and time again. You know, it's like that simple saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Well, why is that? Right?
Right.
And we know this. And this is golden because, you know, so many of us are reaching out there in the world wanting more, the bigger, better, more mentality, the material delirium. What's next? What's mine? What's my future going to be? And I keep coming back to this reality like, gosh, it's all in the past. Everything, all of our treasures, the unresolved or unreconciled hurts and stories and wounds are just waiting for us. Our inner child is just waiting for us to divine mother her or him and hold ourselves through what hurts. You know, where there's a trigger, there's a treasure. We are being called back in to come home to the self and to say, hold on, there's something to transmute here. There's something that needs my attention. And then when we go there and we meet that, then we can be assured that there will be a sensation of ease and grace that follows.
Right. I can feel in my own life that there's this combination of pain. My life seems to be a lot of extremes, extreme pain and extreme pleasure. And that's made a huge change in me because as time has gone on, I get more and more into the pleasure, understanding myself more and appreciating myself more, some of it because of what I've gone through. Mm-hmm. And when I realize how much pain I've lived through in my life, I realize kind of how fabulous I am. You know, it's not what happens to us, it's what we do with it, really. Mm-hmm. Really,
absolutely.
You know, right. And I can see that I could have gone really nuts. And in some ways I did, but really the beauty always has to outweigh the pain.
Yeah. Really. And that brings me to think about two things now, which is creating brings us closest to Creator. And I think that the magic of doing this transformational body paint, this body art project that we stepped into for the sake of transmutation was because we tapped into the modalities of creative expression. And that's why we can all tap into not only our inner healer, but that inner artist, you know, and find a way to work with Creator. I mean, sometimes I'll sit down and I'll just do a prayer braid with three pieces of embroidery string. And you know what? I'm creating. It doesn't have to be a masterpiece, you know, it's just this idea of pulling in and down and back and listening and getting into that creative space. So yeah, creating brings us closest to Creator. And that's the intention we took on when we stepped into that project together. And the other thing that's coming to mind is this piece around balance and how no matter what we test or challenge or want to know in life, we are going to come back to this peace, this truth of balance. And, you know, there's this light and shadow in the journey, the going down deep like the honey badger, feeling into the depth of these, you know, unresolved wounding. And then there's this beautiful quantum diamond light that we can tap into when we find that ease and grace and flow, right? And so there's always this balance piece. And it's important to remember because a lot of times, you know, we can go into those darker aspects of ourself and we can also stay there. And that's not where we want to stay. We want to meet what needs to be met and have the tools and the guidance to move through that. Because if we don't, then we then are choosing to suffer. And we get to remind each other and remind ourselves that we are worthy of more.
Very, very, very important. I would love for you to talk about that a little bit more about what you just said about that we are worthy, because especially as women, mm-hmm. in my opinion, in this society, a lot of us have walked around with we're not worthy, we're not good enough. And that's kind of how we've walked around a lot of our lives. And to move through that and know we are worthy of everything, really of everything wonderful that life has to offer.
Yeah. Well, I think that we can all relate to this just in the nature of relationships in our own life experience. It's interesting because we want to be loved, you know, we want to be adored and loved from, you know, a partner or a loved one. And if we are not, in fact, prepared and embodying our own personal true potential to love ourselves,
right,
how dare we expect someone else to love us,
right?
It's like we get to, we don't have to, we get to this beautiful privilege. We get to learn how to love ourselves. We get to step into and embody that self-devotion. And we will talk about this on our next podcast, so I won't go too deep into it.
Right.
But just touching on the piece of worthiness, we have come from an old human family condition, mindset, behavior of not being worthy, not being allowed to feel that worthiness within ourselves. And that is also the death of old ways in our journey into Homo Luminous. As we move forward as a species on this planet, we do have the choice. And it is coming in, this message is coming in strong from teachers and cultures and in spirit guides, just about everywhere I'm looking, everywhere I'm feeling, is people are now waking up to this invitation to really come into that piece of self-devotion and self-worthiness. But it wasn't so common in the past because that was part of the old world belief.
Right.
So this is the invitation that we have right here in front of us. But we need to see and understand, you know, it's okay that it was that way in essence, because that's just the old book. Like, we're writing this new one now, but it's not just you and me. Like, we are all writing this new book.
Right.
And if you're listening to this call right now, you're probably writing your own book because this is resonating with you, right? And this is just, this is a free truth. This is available to anyone, anywhere, right?
Right.
And it is a mindset shift. So these old systems that were repressive, sexually repressive, or, you know, abusive in all the multitudes of ways abuse has come forth in our human history, this is the old story. And we are crafting a new destiny, and we are worthy to feel that self-love and self-devotion. So yeah, on that note, maybe I'll just seed the intention or the theme for our next podcast, which is the art of falling in love with yourself.
I can't wait for that one either. I wanna ask you, and one of the things that I called you last night very late, and one of the things that came up for me in my life is this incredible combination of pain and beauty. And one of the things that's been a big way of my transitioning and dealing with the pain is through dancing. Dancing has saved my life as a kid. It saved my life going through this stuff with Christina. And certainly when I was living in Las Vegas, Jada, there was no class you had, dancing or yoga, that I didn't go to. So you have a dance medicine site, and I would love for you to talk a little bit about how you see dance and maybe an art as helping in the transition or the transmuting from pain to pleasure, pain to joy. If you could talk about that a little bit more, that would be great.
Sure. Well, dance has been a very strong healing modality my whole life long. That with the essence of yoga, and I think we touched on how those practices even came to be in our first podcast called Healing with the Planet. So more on that one.
Right.
But going forward with that question, dance is such a beautiful tool for transformation, mainly because, speaking to it from my own experience, is feeling into that old repressive energy of, you know, don't shine too bright. Yeah, don't be seen, you know, I kind of have, these old echoing voices from childhood of, oh, she's too friendly, you know, dim that light. And that was just out of the fear of the unknown. Like, what if I was shining? What do we do with that? Right. And so, I mean, now I'm looking at it now and I'm like, well, what if we are all shining? Right? Not just me. What if we are all as a humanity ready to shine? What then will it be? Well, that's what I'm hoping for. That's what this path for me is about, is how do we crack into that inner light and give each other permission to shine and to support each other in that way? And, you know, you need to meet your own triggers to go there. And I certainly have, and I certainly am still transmuting those darker pieces to come access that light. And it's really, it's again that balance piece, the in-breath, the out-breath, the light, the shadow. You can't have one without the other. But the dance medicine practice that I like to call dance medicine, is this meeting of those denser energies. And a lot of times when I guide my practice, you know, I come into it with a lot of my own personal frustrations, you know, my own anger, my own unmet or unresolved energies from within, from the past, you know. And so when I step into the dance, I feel like the dance becomes this incredibly beautiful portal in which to move through what I like to call the sacred rage. Right? In the dance, some of us like to scream into pillows or meet that rage in different ways. Often it comes out into relationships, and that's where it's violent and abusive. So if we have a channel like dance that can become this fierce, expressive, emotional body of movement that can come in and out of us through the language of the body, the movement of the body and the breath, then we are going to reach into those lower chakras, the pelvic floor, the hips, the womb space, the tailbone, all of this lower energy that is often unmoving or static or dormant, and we get to wake it up. And so, yeah, the dance medicine has a big emphasis on the lower region of the body and working with that vault, like the earth body. You know, we tap into, well, what am I holding that's just like, just doesn't feel good, that's not serving me anymore in my highest? Let me flow with that. And, you know, sometimes in dance medicine, like I speak to me and the women and the men that come together for the practice, sometimes we become like cougars and jaguars and just like wild animals for a little while, right? And it doesn't look pretty. And then we do flow back into that gentle sort of watery movement in the hips, more belly dance, more fluid Polynesian lyrical movement again. And then we're like that soft river. You know, so there's that balance piece again. The dance lends us this whole gamut of expression, the spectrum of the dance floor being your oasis, and it can also be your battlefield. Right. But isn't it better that we take this energy and process it and transmute it through something like a dance form rather than going head on in the world and just getting ourselves into these deeper, darker holes?
You talk about it being a portal. That's like a perfect word. And you talk about balance. And I remember a lot of in Christina's journals, she did a lot of the yin yang sign symbol, which is balance. You know, the dark and the light. And then there was something else I wanted to say. Now I can't remember it, but. It's both a battlefield and you said it was something
else.
And
an oasis.
Oh, right. And what a perfect way of putting it. Because a lot of times when I go out dancing, that's what I feel. I feel underlying the beauty and the movement and the music, there's pain.
Right. So, but without that pain, what would you draw upon? What resource would you tap into to find your beauty?
That's the whole, wow, honey. that's really something. Mm-hmm. So in other words, are we saying that you have to experience pain in order to experience beauty?
Well, I'm saying that if we want to amplify our connection to the white light of the divine, then we better know that we need to amplify our connection to the deep, dark roots of where we've come from.
Wow, honey, really.
Because you can't have one without the other. And there is your yin and yang right there.
Right. This is, and you know, it's so funny, you know, over all these years of being friends, and we've gone for we talked about this before we started the podcast, we've gone for very long periods without talking to each other. And then when we reconnect, we're right at the same place in our lives in a lot of ways. It's kind of really interesting. And I feel like I absolutely moved to Las Vegas to meet you, to be friends, for you to do the work that you did with me, you know, really, really. And like you're saying, considering we're doing the podcast today and the connection to your family, to your Aunt Teresa and your Uncle Richie, that's really quite incredible, really, the timing of this. Another question I have for you is, could you say a little bit about in your own life experience how you move from pain to joy? Or maybe you've already touched on that. Would there be anything else you want to say about that?
Yeah. I have a lot of tools I work with, you know, with this emotional body of mine, transmuting my own pain on a daily basis. To give you an example, this morning, I'm in New York visiting family for a little bit. I'm couch hopping, bed hopping all over the place, and woke up this morning on my sister's couch, and you know, oh, I just had this pain in my whole body, like, oh, like, you know, the travel, all the emotions, all the energy to hold around here, and coupled with my own journey. And so there I wake up and I'm like head to toe, like, you know, that feeling where like, how am I going to get out of bed, right? Like, I think we've all had those days. And then I know, and I knew in that moment, well, you're going to go outside and you're going to ground in, sit down on the ground and do your breath work and your visualizations and your prayer work and a little bit of movement. And so I'm in a really healthy new rhythm of not touching my cell phone until I get up and I complete my breath journey and my visualizations. And when I finish that, I then go make my coffee and turn on my phone. So, I'm also going to thank Jeff from Breath Army, who's guided me into that new rhythm. I often will do my breath work every morning, but now, like, really showing up for myself first before I show up for the world has been a really big golden nugget in this healing journey. And that I'm worthy enough to do that, right? That's that worthiness piece.
Fabulous, honey. That's that. What you're saying is so right on, because what I've been noticing in my life, I get up in the morning and I turn on the damn computer. And that is so stupid. And it's exactly what you're saying. I should begin the morning and probably end the day with myself. Mm-hmm. My own practice where it's just me. And this is, you're setting an excellent example. And I've been thinking about that. I cannot get up anymore in the morning, turn on the computer, sit down, which is also not a good thing to do, and start looking at my email. No. And I've been thinking about this, that I need to start my morning with some routine that just builds me up and starts my day in a positive, spiritual, grateful way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just to speak to that, this morning when I finished I have my own rhythmic way of meeting myself and taking myself through my own personal breath practice, my own journey every 30 minutes it takes me every morning. You know, you can always start out with 10 minutes, 15 minutes, build it up, do what you need to do. But I'll say when I finished this morning, like I do most mornings, I transmuted that pain in my back, my spine, my hips, all that heavy, dense energy. It was gone. I got up, I did a forward fold, took a few more deep breaths and I walked into the kitchen and I was like, I looked at my dad and he's like, he wasn't understanding what I was doing out there, but I think he knows by now, you know, she walks to the beat of a different drum. I just leave her alone. I walked right in, I looked at him, he had a cup of coffee and he's like, yeah, right. And I was like, yeah, I'm fully charged. Let's go. Where's the coffee? You know? And then the day began. And, and then I've got more to give, you see, I've got more to give them. And, whoever I'm holding, right? So, yeah,
that
or receiving.
That's wonderful. That's just wonderful. And I've been thinking about this. So, again, timing is everything. Mm-hmm. And definitely, because I did this morning, I got up and I did some stretches. I thought, because I'm not gonna turn on the computer. I'm gonna start the day with myself. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of breath work. First thing in the morning, because you were talking about oxygen and needing oxygen.
Yeah, oxygen to the body.
Right. So, Jada, is there anything else you would like to talk about this? And we're talking about, you know, transmuting pain to pleasure. Is there anything else you would like to talk about that? Anything you want to add?
No, I feel good about where we're at, wrapping up this one particular chapter of our journey. And and encouraging those listeners to jump onto our next podcast, the Art of Falling in Love with Yourself, which will come next. But yeah, before we close out, I always like to just mention wolfkin.ca is my site. If you want to book one-on-one journeys, I am stepping into a place now in my life where I am offering spiritual mentorship journeys, which are one-on-one calls, kind of like the ones we have, but we go a little bit deeper and customize the journey to what that spirit seeker is needing. I often tap into the oracle cards and my own intuition. I work with plant allies and stones and the medicine of the earth to really hold who's ready to be held in their highest. And so, yeah, if you want to do a one-on-one journey, just send me a message. I'm curious to see how I can help hold you in your highest. And yeah, there's more on the Dance Medicine online course on my website. You can look under school and find it there. And yeah, more magic to come, right, Gold?
Oh, absolutely. We don't seem to stop. And again, when I was in Las Vegas, there wasn't a class that you did that I didn't go to. And it changed my life, really, because when I moved back to when I moved back to Chicago, I could feel how different my body felt, because taking the yoga classes with you and the expressive yoga stuff, everything. And I remember there were many times when I would come over to your house and you would be painting and I would just sit there. And being in that energy, that creative, beautiful energy, was so peaceful. And I was having a hard time in Las Vegas. And you were very life-changing for me, really. So I'm always grateful to you for your friendship. Okay, so I think we're just about done. And again, Jada, I want to thank you for everything, always. And we'll be having our next podcast pretty soon. Yeah. So what I'd like to do is end with a couple of quotes. Find a place inside where there's joy, and the joy will burn out the pain. Joseph Campbell. And the other quote is, art is a wound turned into light. George Braque. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. It's Braque. So those are the two quotes I'd like to end with, and you will stay tuned for the next podcast that Jada was talking about, falling in love with yourself. That's going to be another interesting one. Okay, so thank you for listening. Hear stories that are compelling, enlightening, challenging, and intertwined with world events. With every story, you will come away with hope, love, new outlooks on life, and tips on how to overcome whatever comes your way. Telling stories is wired into our brains and how we live in community with each other. Never a dull moment. So listen up and let's kick some ass. Please share, subscribe, and review. Check out my book on Amazon, Love in Action, A Mother's Memoir, My Daughter's Battle with Cancer. And that's it for today. Thank you all. Bless you all. And take good care.